From Texas Public Radio, this is Golden Pennies, a limited series that breaks down why Texas school funding still isn't fair and how we got to where we are today. I'm Camille Phillips. One of the biggest education stories in Texas in 2023 was the governor's push to create a school voucher-like program. And all signs point to that story continuing to be a major political driver in 2024. At the heart of that debate is a decision about how Texas should fund education. But it's hard to have a true debate on the topic because the state's current school funding system is so complicated and convoluted that very few people truly understand it. And after digging into the data and policy, I found that lingering inequities are hiding underneath that confusion. To understand school funding in Texas, you need to know about the Rodriguez family, specifically Patricia Rodriguez's father, Demetrio.
He always stood up for the little guy.
He was also the first plaintiff listed in a landmark lawsuit that made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973.
When this first case was filed, it was filed in 1968. I was not even born yet.
Demetrio Rodriguez and other parents from San Antonio's Edgewood School District filed the suit after seeing their kids' schools get only a fraction of the funding seen in neighboring districts. Patricia Rodriguez says her parents experienced a lot of racism and saw education as a way to push back.
One of the things that they both would tell my brothers and I often was that no matter what, a good education can never be taken away from you.
But in 73, the Edgewood parents lost. In a narrow 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled the U.S. Constitution does not guarantee equal access to education funding. Even though the ruling was a major setback for the working-class Mexican-American families who filed suit, the students who inspired it gathered in 2023 to remember the case's 50th anniversary.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's events.
Albert Cortez was at the event. He helped lead the decades-long fight for school funding equity in Texas following the Rodriguez ruling.
The legacy of Rodriguez was that when the case was presented, a lot of the inequalities that existed in the system were uncovered. It was like turning over a rock, and all the ugliness that was underneath was exposed.
Cortez attended high school at Edgewood in the 60s. He remembers outdated textbooks, underprepared teachers, and that there were never enough supplies to go around. His typing class had keyboards painted on students' desktops because there weren't enough typewriters.
We always had the sense that we had less. And what was communicated to us indirectly then, somehow that we were less. Less meaningful, less important.
After losing the Rodriguez case, it took 20 years of fighting in state court for Edgewood families to finally see a victory. In 1993, Texas lawmakers created a court-mandated fix called ReCAPTCHA. The goal of ReCAPTCHA was to level the playing field between property-rich and property-poor school districts by taking some of the property taxes collected by rich districts and giving it to poor ones. Critics call the system Robin Hood. Today, ReCAPTCHA is vital for districts like Edgewood. If it relied solely on local taxes, the district would have had just $2,300 last year for each student. With state and federal money added in, Edgewood had close to $11,000. Still, the district superintendent, Eduardo Hernandez, says they struggle to meet students' needs.
We need an upgrade to one of our elementary schools, one of the oldest elementary schools in the district. We need a career and technology center. Some of our buildings just need, in terms of just the walking into the building, the vestibule for safety and security reasons.
Today's school funding system gives property-poor school districts more money to pay teachers and buy supplies, but it doesn't address bonds, which are used to pay for building renovations. Edgewood's 16 square miles don't have the tax base of the business corridor downtown or wealthy Alamo Heights a few miles away.
We have nothing but very modest homes in Edgewood. The value of most of our homes is not very high. It's somewhere between $40,000 and $70,000. So we would have to raise a bond on, for lack of a better word, on our people's backs.
Hernandez says Edgewood hasn't tried to go out for a bond in nearly 15 years. And even if it did, one wouldn't go very far. That's forced him to use money that's supposed to be used on daily operations to fund building repairs.
Just a year ago, we had the air conditioning run out of one of our middle schools. That cost over $1 million.
Despite the unexpected costs of aging buildings, Hernandez says his first priority is educating students. Edgewood has one of the highest starting teacher salaries in San Antonio, but the district also has a lot of first-year teachers.
So I know there's two rows of nine.
At Edgewood's LBJ Elementary, I watch one of those first-year teachers take her students through a math lesson.
Two times nine equals 18.
Watching right now, I think she's going through a certain motion right now, like any first-year teacher would.
Hernandez says if Edgewood could afford it, LBJ Elementary would have an instructional coach dedicated to pedagogy to help new teachers learn how to keep students engaged.
Somebody that can coach the teacher in real time so that they learn their craft better, because it's not just knowing the content, it's how do you deliver the content in a way that the student can retain that content.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Down the hallway in another classroom, an experienced teacher leads her students in a song they memorize to learn the multiplication table.
You told me 54 and 63 were coming next. Oh, 72, 81, and 90 were all of them. No way I'll forget my nine.
Here you have a teacher that's experienced. She's exceptional.
Hernandez leans down to speak to two students sitting on a carpet filling out a worksheet.
Is it easy for you? Yes and no? So are you guys helping each other out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll leave you alone. I know I'm getting in the middle.
The students' replies are so quiet, the microphone barely picks them up. In an ideal world, Hernandez says he'd have more counselors to help build the kids' self-confidence.
A lot of times children have a hard time just speaking up for themselves. One counselor for 400 and something kids with all the other duties she has to do is not adequate.
Percent of LBJ Elementary students are economically disadvantaged. Nearly one in four are English language learners. They need more resources than the average student, but Edgewood has about $1,500 less per student than the state average, and $4,000 less than the U.S. average. Hernandez says if he had $4,000 more per student, his number one priority would be additional teachers and additional counseling. Even though recapture gives property-poor districts like Edgewood a lot more funding than they had before 1993, today's school funding system still isn't fair, and the things that make it unfair aren't very well understood. That's because the funding system is also really complicated. Part 2 of Golden Pennies explains how the system works and why it still isn't fair. Golden Pennies is a production of Texas Public Radio. Dan Katz is our VP of News. This episode was researched and reported by me. It was edited by Rachel Osier-Lindley of the Texas Newsroom. Jacob Rosati did sound design. I'm Camille Phillips. There's more to the story. Head over to tpr.org/goldenpennies to read more and see photos and data visualizations.